Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Vesser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Chet, Chapter 28. In the previous chapter, we read how Yirmiyahu began to wear a yoke in the time of Tzidkiyahu and sent yokes to Tzidkiyahu himself, as well as five other kings in the area that were meeting to plan a revolution against Babylonia. The message of the yokes was that whichever nation would submit to Babel would survive, but whoever rebels and does not accept the Babylonian occupation, that it is part of God's plan, will end up being completely destroyed. This parak also has to do with yokes, specifically the one that Yirmiyahu is wearing as he walks the streets of Jerusalem telling his prophecy. But before we get there, we need to return to the topic of the false prophets. We need to talk about why did people like the false prophets and why their influence was waning at this time. People liked false prophets because they gave them security. They made them feel good about themselves. The false prophets told them nothing bad would ever happen to you. However, in the time of Yehoyachin, something bad really did happen. Galut Yehoyachin, Galut HaCharash VaMasker. The entire upper class of the Jewish people was exiled to Babylonia. All of their leaders, all of their thinkers, all of their craftsmen, their army, the people that protected them, their king and the administration of the palace, everyone was gone. Furthermore, the Babylonians were able to storm into the Beit HaMikdash and take whatever vessels they wanted. Suddenly, the words of the false prophets start to look like maybe they're actually false prophets. They said the Beit HaMikdash will protect you, but that didn't happen. So at this time, in the beginning of Tzidkiyahu's reign, people are starting to think that maybe Yirmiyahu had been telling the truth the whole time. And right now in this perek, Yirmiyahu actually does have a chance to convince the people. They're open to hearing from him. In this perek, Yirmiyahu is confronted with perhaps the most powerful of the false prophets, named Hananya ben Azur. It's the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu's rule, so 4 years since Galut Yehoyachin, since a large part of the community was exiled. 4 years since the false prophets had been saying that any day now, the Babylonian Empire is going to fall. 4 years of hearing the same thing over and over with no change. And suddenly, people are starting to think, maybe it was Yirmiyahu who is the true prophet after all. And in walks Hananya ben Azur, an incredibly respected member of the religious establishment, a person that the people look up to and that people trust. Hananya also stands at the Beit HaMikdash, just like Yirmiyahu does, and he gives his own prophecy. I'm reading from Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Says Hananya, Ko amar Hashem Svakot Elokei Yisrael lemor, so says Hashem, the God of Israel, Shavarti et ol melech Bavel, I have broken the yoke of Bavel. I am, the empire of Babylonia is fallen, it's falling, not yet, but very, very soon, and I, Hashem, will save you. Notice how Hananya is usurping Yirmiyahu's imagery. When he says, I've broken the yoke of Bavel, to mean that Babylonia is falling, he's clearly speaking against Yirmiyahu's prophecy and against Yirmiyahu himself, because at the time, Yirmiyahu is there, and he's actually wearing the yoke. Also notice that Hananya ben Azur uses the template that Nevi'im use. He starts off his prophecy the same way Yirmiyahu starts off his prophecy, with the words, Ko amar Hashem Svakot Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem our God. This is how Nevi'im start. So Hananya looks like a Navi, and he sounds like a Navi, and his prophecy is, like the false prophets, very kind and safe, and don't worry, Babylonia will fall. He goes on to give details. Verse 3 says Hananya, Ba'od shnatayim yamim, ani meshiv el ha-makom hazeh et kol klei Beit Hashem asher lakach Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel min ha-makom hazeh v'yivieim Bavel. In 2 years, I will bring back to this place all of the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, took from this place and brought to Bavel. And he goes on in verse 4, Ve'et Yechonia ben Yehoyakim melech Yudah, I'm going to bring back King Yehoyachin, Ve'et kol galut Yudah haba'im Bavela, ani meshiv el ha-makom hazeh ne'um Hashem, ki eshpur et ol melech Bavel. I'm going to bring back the king, I'm going to bring back the people, everybody who was exiled to Babel will come back because I have broken the yoke of Babel. Notice, by the way, the order that Hananiah says that the things will return. He first mentions the vessels and spends a longer time speaking about them. Then he talks about King Jehoiachin, and then he speaks about the people. This is because, for the philosophy of the false prophets, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash were actually more important than the king. According to their ideology, the Beit HaMikdash will protect you. So they had to promise that the Beit HaMikdash is still protecting you. Those vessels are going to be returned. It will be as if they were never taken. Yirmiyahu is standing there also at the Beit HaMikdash, and he's wearing his yoke that symbolizes his prophecy, and he needs to respond. But his response in verse 6 is very strange. Says Yirmiyahu, Amen! I agree! Ken yaseh Hashem, so Hashem should do, yakem Hashem et zivarecha asher mibeita, Hashem should keep the words of your prophecy, lashiv klei beit Hashem v'chol ha'gola mibavel el ha'makom hazeh, to bring back the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash and all the exiles to this place. Why does Yirmiyahu seem to be supporting Hananiah's prophecy? So Rashi says, this is Lashon Tfila. Yirmiyahu was saying, I pray that you're right. And Rashi goes on to say, Halavai, if only what you're saying was true, it would be wonderful and I would be the first one to support it. Unfortunately, it's not true. But I want the people to realize that I don't wish for them to be destroyed. I'm just a truth teller, which actually makes me a much better friend to them than Hananiah. But it would be wonderful if it was actually true what you're saying. But at this point, Yirmiyahu needs to give guidance to the people for them to know, how are they supposed to figure out who's real and who's fake? Which Navi speaks the word of Hashem and which Navi simply wants power, wants to get ahead? So here's the criteria. Criteria number 1, Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Achshmana davar zeh asher nochi dover ba'aznecha, says Yirmiyahu, it would be wonderful if what Hananiah said is true, but listen to what I'm about to tell you, ubaznei kol ha'am, and in front of all the people. Verse 8, Hanavi'im asher hayu lefanai ulefanecha, those prophets that came before me and before you, Hananiah, min ha'olam, from all time, all prophets, one after another, have the same type of prophecy, and that is the following. Ve'inav'u al artzot rabot ba'mamlachot gedolot. They speak about far-off lands. They can be speaking to many different kinds of people, but their prophecy is always the same. And that is lamilchama ulera'a uledaver. They speak about war, they speak about evil, and they speak about pestilence. What's Yirmiyahu saying here? What he's saying is, Hananiah, you don't sound like a Navi. Remember, we spoke about, for Hashem to reach out to a Navi, he's breaking the barrier of nature. He's crossing the border from the finite, from the infinite to the finite. He's taking some piece of godliness and translating it into something that humans can understand. Hashem doesn't do that for no reason. He does it when there's a very important reason, which is that people need a message to change. He doesn't do it to say, here's a pat on the back, or things are going to be great, or in 2 years, I'm going to bring back those exiles. Hashem wouldn't send that kind of nevuah. It doesn't make sense. Hananiah is not demanding anything of you. And therefore, he doesn't sound like any Navi that came before me and came before him. He can't be a Navi because he's not asking anything of you. And then Yirmiyahu goes on and he says, criteria number 2, verse 9. Hanavi asher yinavi l'shalom. Vivo devar hanavi, yivada hanavi asher shalcho Hashem be'emet. It is very hard to say who is a false prophet and who's a real prophet. We saw this at Yirmiyahu's trial. They're going back and forth and trying to prove he's a false prophet. And really, they can't. And the reason they can't is, how are you supposed to prove that someone's a false prophet? Somebody says, in 20 years, there's going to be an earthquake. Okay. 2 years later, there still wasn't an earthquake, and 10 years later, there still wasn't an earthquake. Until 20 years, you can't prove that that person's a false prophet. And in 20 years, You still can't prove that they're a false prophet if there was no earthquake, because what if the people did teshuva? The purpose of prophecy is that people will change their ways and the evil that's being prophesied won't come. So therefore, it's almost impossible to prove that somebody is a false prophet, especially if they're prophesying something bad, which prophets almost always do. However, says the Rambam, there is a way to prove that somebody is a false prophet based on their prophecy, and that is if they say something good. Now, it can't be that it's just any good thing. It has to have certain criteria. And the criteria is that the good thing that they promise applies to the whole nation as opposed to an individual. So it can't be that Mr. So-and-so is going to win the lottery. That's a private nevuah. That can change. But if I say the whole nation will have abundant crops, that is a nevuah that can't change. And the second criteria is that there has to be a very specific time frame, because otherwise, really, the prophet can argue, well, you know, it just didn't happen yet. I promised abundant crops, but I didn't tell you when the abundant crops were going to come. So there's basically three criteria, says the Rambam. The prophecy has to be positive, it has to be for the whole nation, and it has to have a time frame. Says Yirmiyahu, hold on a second, Hananiah. The Navi, who Yinaveh L'Shalom, says good things, when that time frame comes along, we will actually know for sure who Hashem really sent. Yuhananiah gave a positive prophecy to the entire nation with a time frame. I, Yirmiyahu, know that that's not a true time frame, but so will the entire nation in 2 years know that you were lying to them. Hananiah is enraged at this response of Yirmiyahu, probably because he realized that he had talked himself into a bind. He also probably was reading the crowd and saw that they were turning against him. So Hananiah has to take drastic action. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vaykach Hananiah Hanavi et hamota me'al tzavar Yirmiyahu Hanavi vayish berehu. He goes over to Yirmiyahu, grabs the yoke from his neck and smashes it. Now let's just realize a few things. Number one, how strong you have to be to smash a wooden yoke. It's not just like a little twig. We're talking about a thick piece of wood. Hananiah must have been a pretty strong person. Number two, how do you get that yoke off of somebody's neck? It's behind their neck. That means Hananiah has to walk over to Yirmiyahu and grab the yoke from his neck, putting both his arms around Yirmiyahu's shoulders. Now, I can't imagine that Yirmiyahu just kind of stood there quietly while Hananiah, you know, carefully took the yoke off of his neck. Yirmiyahu was probably wrestling around. They probably wrestled with each other. So what happened here was not just, you know, I took the yoke off of Yirmiyahu's neck and smashed it. What happens here is an assault. It's a violent assault. And Hananiah does this because he feels like he needs to do something, and he needed a chance to get the people back on his side. So the yoke, which was so identified with Yirmiyahu's prophecy, which was the symbolic action, Hananiah breaks it in this very dramatic event to show the people, Yirmiyahu is a nobody, he can't even stand up to me. And then in the next pasuk, he repeats his earlier nevuah, I've broken the yoke of Bavel, just as he breaks Yirmiyahu's yoke, doing his own symbolic action, breaking Yirmiyahu's yoke, the same way he says Hashem broke the yoke of Bavel. This makes quite an impact on the people. And the pasuk ends, Vayelech Yirmiyahu Navi Lidarko, Yirmiyahu goes on his way. The Matsudot explained that Yirmiyahu left because he feared for his life. He was scared that Hananiah was going to come back and kill him, and thereby giving Hananiah the last word and the chance to get the people back on his side with his own symbolic action. Yirmiyahu comes home once again, having been violently accosted and dejected, having lost yet again, especially when he was so close, when he gets another nevuah from Hashem. This time it's about Hananiah himself. Says Hashem to Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Gimel, Haloch v'amarta el Hananiah lemor, go and say to Hananiah, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, motot etz shavarta, vasita tachteyem motot parzel. You've broken a wooden yoke, but instead You made an iron yoke. What does that mean? So he explains in verse 14, Ki komar shem sokol elokei Yisrael, ol barzel natati al tzavar kol goyim ha'ele, lavod et Nebuchadnezzar melch bavel, vavdu, v'gam et chayot ha'sadeh natati lo. You've made the exile come sooner and stronger. Now the yoke is made of iron. Before it was made of wood. Why does Hashem give Yirmiyahu this prophecy? Hashem is reminding Yirmiyahu that all he can do is speak the truth. He can't force people to listen to him. And Yirmiyahu has to believe his own truth in his own nevuah. Just because Hananiah broke the yoke doesn't mean he erased the nevuah. Actually, the opposite is true. He made the wooden yoke into an iron yoke because now people will be less likely to believe Yirmiyahu than they were before. They'll laugh when they see him walking around with his new yoke instead of being afraid of what's to come. Hananiah can't erase a nevuah simply by breaking the ma'aseh simli, the symbolic action. The symbolic action helps people visualize a prophecy, but it doesn't encompass it. The people of the time are enthralled with physical objects like amulets, and may have actually thought that by breaking the yoke, the nevuah will go away, that by accosting Yirmiyahu, maybe he will go away. By not thinking that anything will come to them, maybe that way they could keep the war at bay. Of course, this is magical thinking, and Hashem reminds Yirmiyahu of this as he comes home from his encounter with Hananiah ben Azor. Yirmiyahu actually goes and confronts Hananiah ben Azor again, and he says to him, Hananiah, I want you to know that Hashem didn't send you. I know that you have accused the nation. You've convinced them of something false. And therefore, says Hashem, you will die within the year. And the parak ends by telling us, Vayamat Hananiah Bashanahi Bachodesh Hashvi'i. Hananiah dies that year. Yirmiyahu revealed something important to us in this parak, something that he said before about false prophets. If it sounds too easy, it's probably not real. Don't just look for people who tell you things that are convenient and nice to hear. Real growth comes when you're challenged, and that is the role of a prophet. The role of the people in this story, which they failed to fulfill, was to look beyond the show and beyond the calming platitudes and search deep down to figure out who was actually trying to help them be their best and who is just placating them. To look beyond the show of violence, like slamming down a yoke and abusing a navi, to who was actually speaking a message that was consistent with the Torah. Hananiah failed the people just when they needed him the most, and he was punished with his life. Thank you for studying together at Le'ula Nishma Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.